That's awesome. Tonight, we are going to briefly cover a subject that is, it's not a big mystery, but it is something we all deal with, and that is when our prayers seem to go unanswered. I'm going to, in anticipation of where we're going tonight, I'm going to ask you to capture the biggest prayer that you have in your life right now. Whatever it is you're praying for that tends to be your constant prayer. Now, I love what we talked about this morning. Dave talking about the passion that we have and the initiative to take prayer and to have it be literally a ministry in trying to establish 24-hour-a-day prayer for our missionaries. There's a focus there. This is something that I think that when we decide we want to be a part of something, to support something, we do that. But I'm talking about the prayer that's on your heart. It's something that you really need God to come through for. And there's a lot of obvious ones. If you need healing in your body, you're going to be praying for that. If you need a circumstance to resolve itself, maybe it's a tense relationship, you need God to answer that prayer. If there's a big decision that you need to make, then you know you're seeking for that prayer to be answered. And sometimes it doesn't seem to be answered, or it doesn't seem to be on our timetable anyway. And I understand there's a lot of variables there, but it's just difficult when prayer doesn't get answered. And it causes an awful lot of emotions, if you will. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we question ourselves. We wonder, what did I do wrong? Am I praying the right thing? Is my life lining up with God? What is God saying? And all of these different things. Here's the most difficult thing, I believe, when we go through that, is that we have the godly example through Scripture where we're going to go tonight, but then we have the human experience. Because if you're like me, I get frustrated if I have to wait for anything. And maybe some of you are better, you're more patient than others, and that's just a temperament situation. But when our prayers go unanswered, it's a difficult thing. But there is a spiritual aspect to that if we're not careful, we'll dismiss it, and we'll continue to be frustrated. And can I just promise you that any time that you don't have a prayer that's answered, Satan is always waiting to tell you things that are not true, that God doesn't care, that God's not going to answer your prayer, that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you don't believe, you don't have enough faith, and on and on and on. So we have to keep our focus narrowed. We have to be focused on what God says. I want you to join me in James, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And if you can, unofficially, even if you want to write it down, what are you praying for? Because one of the best ways to go through what we're going to talk about tonight is to put it in the context of a prayer that you're praying that you really want answered or need to be answered. So James, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. This is in NIV. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on pleasures." Now, James is talking about a situation in the church that he's really talking about the key focus there, your motives. You're praying and you're having all these fights and the quarrels. It's almost like a church that is really indifferent to each other. We have a lot of problems and a lot of issues, and you know, people don't like this and people don't like that. There's just a lot of friction in the church. How in the world are you going to come into the sanctuary and really worship under circumstances like that? It's like when you get in a fight in your family. Doesn't matter if it's with your wife or your husband or your kids or whatever. How can you just have harmony buzzing on down the road, you know, when all of this anger and tension and things are just, this was what was happening in the church. So guess what James does? He says, listen, there's a reason you're not getting your answers prayer. I mean, your prayer is answered. It's because of these issues that are all in there. And like I said, man, Satan loves to play a role in really just stirring things up. Have you ever had one of those situations where you're dealing with something, and then somebody out here just kind of gives you a little suggestion, kind of almost egging you on? They don't have anything vested in what you're dealing with, but they just love to see the fight. They just want to just keep adding little comments just to stir the water, because they're there to watch the entertainment part of that quarrel. That's what it is. They get greatly entertained by it, and Satan loves it. He just gets entertained when we get sidetracked like that. So I want to share some things with you tonight about this issue. First of all, here's what James points out. He says, you know what? You don't have because you haven't asked. You haven't asked. It's amazing how much of our Christian life that we live under the umbrella of assumption instead of request. Because we know what God is. Some of us have been in church so long, we kind of know a lot of systems. And we know how things are going to work out, and we know how things are going to be. But you know what? It's this thing where we just kind of believe, you know, this is going to happen, and we assume that this will happen or that will happen, instead of making a direct request. You know, I think all of us have experienced that you don't know the answer until you ask the question and are given the answer. But when you make assumptions, it's a real dangerous thing, because you usually fill in the gap for what you think the other person or the other thing is going to do and how all that's going to work out, and it's all on assumption. But he says, you know what? You don't have because you didn't ask. You do not have because you do not ask God, which is in sharp contrast over Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7. It says this, ask and it shall be given you. Sometimes we don't ask because God seems to be extremely removed from our lives. Now, I think I just need to remind you of one thing. God never went anywhere. God has never left you. God has never abandoned you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's Old Testament, New Testament, and today. And I love the old story of the couple that was driving down the road, older couple, you know, and she's way over here and he's driving. You know, you know this illustration. You've heard it before. You know, drive up to a red light and there's a young couple and they're all cuddly, you know, that she's sitting right next to him. That was before seatbelts, by the way. But she's just right there cuddling up. And the old lady goes, hey, Herman. That's a great old person named Herman, isn't it? Herman, what? Why don't we sit like that anymore? And he looks over and he goes, I haven't moved. God has not moved. God has not removed himself from your situation. He's still right there. So we need to understand sometimes it's about proximity. And we forget that God's right there. So continue to ask. Be specific. But when you ask, realize that God is there. He's listening. He is not off taking care of something else or something more important. That's another issue that we have to deal with. Somehow we tend to relegate our requests, which is probably not life and death the majority of the time, that God is just going to get around to it. Are you kidding me? God is going to give the same attention to your paper cut that he does somebody with a severed limb. I know that's an extreme, you know, indifference, but it's still the truth. God sees no different in all of that. God's going to forgive your lie just like he's going to forgive somebody else's act of murder. That's the kind of God that he is. So he's always going to be there. The second thing is, listen, don't just ask, but believe. Believe. Even if you have to work on your belief, we have to believe that God is really going to do that. He ties it with it. James 1 through 5 and 8 says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Let me ask you a question. What do we lose? What do we lose in completely believing that God's going to answer our prayer? What do we lose? You see, God knows how to sort out things that shouldn't happen and deny them. God knows how to take the thing that should happen and give it credence. God knows how to take us through on a road that he wants us to take to a certain end so that he can minister to us through the things that we go through. God knows how to sustain you. God knows how to encourage you. God knows how to keep you full of hope. He knows how to supply comfort, strength, and he knows how to answer your prayer. So what do we lose by believing that? You know, I know this is a human statement, but it kind of throws right in there with what I'm saying. You know, why not shoot for the moon? I mean, why not pray the big prayer? And I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm just talking about believe God for the big things. Because too often we look in the mirror and we've already decided that God wouldn't do that for me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worth it. Remember, go back to all of this stuff. We have to believe. Our prayers have to be attached to what we believe. Or they're going to be attached to what we don't believe. You know, sometimes, I remember... This is so horrible. This is just a stupid illustration. How many of you remember Happy Days? Remember Happy Days? Wasn't that a great family thing back in the day when entertainment was kind of, whatever, anyway, it was good. And there was Richie Cunningham, and Fonzie was trying to encourage him to go and ask this girl out. So you know how the Fonz is doing all this stuff. So finally, he goes over. He walks across the room, and he says, hey, he said, you probably don't want to go out with me, do you? And then he walks back, and Fonz got so mad at him. He just goes, you don't ever ask it. You know, he had already decided this isn't going to happen, so I might as well ask it that way. And sometimes that's exactly what we do. Listen, God is ready to answer our prayer, and he knows how to answer it. He knows how to say no. He knows how to say yes. He knows how to say, hang in there. It's not right now. All kinds of things. But sometimes he doesn't say anything, which is what causes us to be a little bit doubtful. Listen, we have to know, not think. We have to know that God is going to answer our prayer. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I said it April the 11th, 1981, and I've said it a lot of times between here and there, that I looked straight into my wife's face and said, I love you, and that's forever. And you know, it's never changed. It's never changed. I don't think it. I know it. And when you know something, you can stand on it because it lends itself to the doubt you're trying to eliminate and the confidence you're trying to build. So do you believe that God can or God will? That's a whole other subject. Can he do it? Of course he can. But will he? That human element in us has to get out of the way and us to operate in the spiritual realm there, because our spirit is always leaning us toward what God will do when the human experience is trying to tell us this probably isn't going to happen because it doesn't always happen. Well, listen, why should we be the exception? Why should it be that my prayer is going to be the exception? Why can't it be the normal? It can be if we're listening close to what he says. Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6 says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole other area about how to build your faith and that type of thing. I'm just telling you, faith is a huge part of our prayers being answered. And then sometimes our motives are just wrong. We're asking for the wrong reason. Our motivation is completely screwed up, and we just need to get it the right way. Hey, listen, teenagers, you know, when you're young, there's a lot of things you want. You want a car. You know, you want a lot of things. And listen, sometimes we pray because of what we want and not what we need. Wants are kind of my picture of how this prayer should be answered. Needs is how God is going to supply the picture. And sometimes what you need is four wheels and, you know, transportation and not whatever you saw on the magazine or on the car, on the commercial or whatever. So whether it's a car or whether we're wanting God to bless us with somebody or popularity or we want a promotion, you know what? We have to pray with the right motive. That's the only thing that we really have to work on, is what is my motive on all this? Am I trying to get ahead? Am I using God as leverage? Am I trying to manipulate God? Am I trying to ask God to do something for me that would benefit me? Because selfishness gets in this thing in a hurry. And there's sometimes you find yourself praying to get off the hook. It's called the escape prayer. Oh, dear God, please don't let my wife find out or my boss find out or my friends find out or my family find out. You know, we blew it, okay? We blew it, regardless of what category that we messed up, and we're just hoping that God will heal that and conceal that long enough to where we can get away with it. Here's another bad reference. Tonight is just a night of horrible references. A long time ago, they had a movie with Burt Reynolds in it, and Burt Reynolds was depicted as this guy who wanted to die, so he kept trying different ways, and of course it was a comedy, so he never worked out. But at the very end of the movie, he decides he's going to drown himself, so he swims out into the middle of the ocean. He sees him. He's on the beach. He goes out, and he swims and swims and swims, and then he dives down as deep as he can. And the whole time he's doing this, you can hear his conversation over the movie. You know how you can hear what people are thinking? And he's going, I just want to die. I want to end it all. And then he gets down there, wherever it is, underneath the ocean, and he goes, no, I want to live. So he turns it all around, and he finally breaks surface, and then he says, God, please, if you'll let me live, he said, I'll give you the rest of my life. I'll give you 100% of what I make. And the closer he got to shore, then it got 80%. And most of it. Or I'll just go to church Sunday. And it's amazing how that when the circumstances seem to be improving, then our motives tend to change too. And that's not a good way to do it. You know, one of the two biggest killers of prayer is unbelief and the wrong motives. That we just don't believe that God will do that. Or we don't have faith enough to ask it in the first place. Or our motives are misplaced. Now listen, this is not a sermon to make anybody feel bad. It's to put ourselves in the place to where God can really answer our prayers. Everything God wants to do, he wants to do for your good. What glory does God get out of saying no to you and causing your life to go backwards and for you to suffer more? He doesn't get any glory out of that. But when he gets to answer your prayer and sometimes take you through rough situations just to answer your prayer in the way that he wanted it answered, you're going to be better off there than if he answered your prayer the way you wanted it here. And sometimes it's hard to just lock onto that and let it be real and true. Here's another thing. We need to be specific with our prayers. I've always said, I believe that God answers general prayers generally, but God answers specific prayers specifically. Here it is Sunday. So this morning, my prayer should have been, Father, I pray that today that you will minister to people in our church. I pray that when they come into this sanctuary, that you'll address their specific needs. And whatever it is that they need, I pray that you will minister to them. I may not be aware of it, but you know the heart of everybody here. And the cooler thing would be if God gave me some names and some faces to go with that. But if I got up this morning and said, Father, I just sure hope we have a good day at church. Well, you know what? If the electricity didn't go off and, you know, John didn't pass out playing the guitar and the drummer wasn't too loud, then we probably had a good day. That's a general prayer. When somebody asks you something, isn't it nice if they tell you exactly what you want? I have a big problem with that because when I'm talking with my wife half the time, she tells me, she'll interrupt me, she'll say, what do you want? And I go, well, I'd like to explain it for 30 minutes first, really, be honest with you. And sometimes that's the way I am, you know. If you've ever been spending any time with me, oh my gosh. I set the pace. I mean, I lay the foundation. I pour the concrete, wait for it to dry before I make the single statement. How would you know that? Because I do it in my preaching as well. But here's the thing. God loves to answer prayers specifically because they specifically are the request of your heart. He knows exactly what you want to do. Now, I understand God knows my heart. And I live and I understand that statement and I like that statement that God knows my heart. But God wants me to know my heart to the extent that I can verbalize it with him in prayer so that he can focus on the details that I am now creating and bringing to him. God loves that. He knows exactly what to do when I do that. Anybody's ever shot a bow and arrow, there's usually a target associated with that. You shoot that arrow at the target. That's the goal. That's called being specific. Heard the story a long time ago about a guy who was driving down the road, and he saw this boy out there with a bow and arrow, and there was, on the side of this barn, there were all these targets, and every target, there had an arrow right in the middle of the target, and he stopped, and he said, young man, he said, evidently, you're incredible with the bow and arrow. I said, that's amazing. He said, how'd you do that? He goes, oh, it's real simple. He said, I just shoot the arrow and then go up and I draw a target around it. That's not what God wants, and it doesn't help us either. We're not just throw it into the wind and see where it falls. God really appreciates it when we get a little specific. But here's the bottom line. Prayer has tremendous power. I know we haven't forgotten that. But there's also tremendous power or resistance, I would say, in the circumstances we're praying about. And I don't want to be disrespectful with this comment whatsoever. But I understand when the word cancer, we understand the word heart disease, when we start hearing about hospital, just like Marty Osborne right now in the hospital for pneumonia. These are not little bitty things. These are big things. So the thing that we have to understand is that God has given us this incredible opportunity to talk to him and to pray with him because prayer has tremendous power. We hope doctors do good. I hope that guy's been paying attention. I hope he slept in a Holiday Inn Express. I hope he did his homework in college. I hope he's done this surgery a million times. But I'd rather put my trust in the power of prayer, asking God to minister to us. So why all of these pictures of axes cutting wood? And me, in my lumberjack shirt. I showed up and I went, hey, wait a minute. I got my lumberjack shirt. Because when I was a kid, we lived in an area that was heavily wooded. Most of the trees weren't very big. Most of them were pine trees, about like this or whatever. So every day when we came home, as we were trying to clear the land that we had moved into, my dad had a job for all of us. We had to cut down 10 trees. 10 trees. I was probably only about 10 years old, so, you know, my trees were pretty small. But one day I got tired of using the hatchet. You know what a hatchet is, you know. Just that little, you know. You know what an axe is? An axe is a hatchet on steroids. And when you swing an axe, you feel like a lumberjack. So I was out there, and I was choked up on that axe. I mean, you know, the handle's this long. I should have brought an axe with me tonight. But I was about halfway up that handle, and I was just pounding on these trees. Well, guess what? As I'm pounding on the tree, the other side of the handle is beating me to death. You know, so I am getting beat to death. I am working myself to death. I am sweating like crazy. I feel like I'm working, and I'm conquering these trees, all right? And my dad walked over to me, and he said, "Son, let me tell you something." He said, "This axe is designed to cut that tree." He said, "The only job you have is to swing the axe." He said, "Because that axe is the cutting of the tree. All you got to do is put it in motion." And you know, and he taught me how to put one hand at the base of that big old axe handle and the other one up here next. And when I swung it, they all came together. And that powerful momentum of that heavy axe laying against that wood, wow, I couldn't believe it. I really did feel like I was a lumberjack. And you know, with our prayers, sometimes we get on our knees and we almost sweat blood just trying because of the words we use and the position we are and the urgency in our voice and how loud we are, maybe how broken we are. And I'm not discarding any of that, because when it's appropriate, it's appropriate. But sometimes we try to make prayer work. And guess what? Prayer knows how to work. All we've got to do is just put it in motion. The reason that most of our prayers don't get answered is because they're never spoken. They're never issued up to God. The Bible tells us, and I love this picture, even though I've not been around this kind of setting to really understand it, but the Bible says that when God hears our prayers, it's a sweet-smelling savor to Him. It's this incredible aroma that, as I picture it, it just kind of goes through the throne room of God, however you depict that in your imagination. That here's God up in heaven, and all the prayers of His people, they just kind of seep through the floor, if you will. That's how I've always seen it. Or just kind of come and they occupy the room where He's in. And it reminds me of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse number 1, where Isaiah is depicting the time that he was in the temple. And he says, "I was in the temple and God showed up. And He said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,' is what the angels were saying." And he just saw this incredible thing, and he was so overwhelmed by the presence of God that all he could do was fall to his knees and say, "Woe is me, for I am a sinful man, and I'm in the presence of a holy God." And our prayers do that for us. And our one and only job is to just swing the axe of prayer and let God cut all these things down that are before us, that are obstructions, there are obstacles to the victory that God wants for our life and that Jesus accomplished on the cross for our lives. Amen? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to just remember that prayer still works. I know that you would agree with me as a blanket statement, but you have to leave here tonight knowing that prayer still works. And here's the add-on: in your life, for your benefit, because you serve a holy God. Because you serve a holy God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. They're going to lead us in a couple of worship songs. But here's what I want us to do tonight. Will you take that urgent prayer need? Doesn't have to be life or death. It's just whatever is out there, that one need. Because if you don't mind, for the moment, don't bring the list. Pick out something on that list. And could you just bring it to this altar for the next few moments? Can you just literally, physically, and spiritually just put that into action? Just swing that axe for the next few moments to bring that need in your life, that desire in your life. That's something that you know it lines up with the will of God. It's just that we're wondering how God's going to do this, how God's going to take me from here to there. Because the promises of God are yea and amen, remember? And they're all in this book. I don't need a whole lot of more education or encouragement. I just need to put it into action. I'm not telling you you're not praying people. But I am telling you that God listens every time we do pray. And sometimes we just need to clear the clutter and just shut down all the clamor and just focus on one thing so that God can know what our desire is. And He will speak to us tonight. I believe that with all my heart. God still talks just like He still hears. Amen? Father, I pray for the next few moments as we gather around this altar. Father, as we lift up our prayers, as we talk to You, as we reach out to the throne room of God, I pray, Lord Jesus, encourage us, reminding us, Lord God, that it is our opportunity and it's our privilege as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, to pray unto You. This book called the Bible is full of that encouragement. And there's story after story after story. And Father, we know the big prayers. We know the Daniel in the lion's den. We know all of the things that have happened throughout the word that happened in people's lives. But tonight, Father, it may not be a lion's den, but it feels like one. And I just pray, God, that you would just remind us that you're listening and that prayer still works. And it works for me. So help us with our faith tonight, Lord God. Help us to come without doubting. Help us come willing to just exercise that faith, because I know my God can. I don't think you will. I know you will. So we ask you to do that, Father. Grant us our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We all stand, as many of you will. Just come on up. Let's just gather around this altar and begin to just take that one item, and let's bathe that in prayer tonight, just for the next few moments. As the worship team leads a little song, how about we just lead ourselves to the altar and allow God to just really minister to us in that respect tonight. Amen.